بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال تبارك وتعالى ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التقوى هاهنا التقوى هاهنا التقوى هاهنا وأشار بيده إلى صدري أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين لتسري سيد درود اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد My respected elders and brothers, I recited a famous verse of the Holy Quran in the very beginning of the khutbah. I'm not sure if the brothers were listening carefully, but I'd like to just know by show of hand if anyone recognized which verse of the Quran I recited. MashaAllah, it means that the brothers were concentrating. Because if you were concentrating, you would have realized that I recited a verse of the Holy Quran relating to Ramadan. About Kutiba alaykumu siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Now you must be wondering that, have I gone back in time? Am I still in the Ramadan stage? Or why am I reciting this verse relating to Ramadan? But there is a reason. There is a purpose why I have recited this verse relating to Ramadan. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us about the very purpose of Ramadan and the outcome of Ramadan. What must be the outcome? Today we are living in a world, especially in education, etc. All the focus and emphasis is on outcomes. They're calling it outcomes-based education. That is, you must receive something that must come out of it. So what is the outcome of Ramadan? So that is why I recited this verse, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that what should be the outcome of Ramadan? That when we completed this whole course of 30 days, and we went through this entire program and this workshop of 30 days, then what must be the outcome at the end of the workshop? So the ayat of the Holy Quran tells us clearly that the outcome of this workshop should be لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can acquire the quality of taqwa and you have graduated in the discipline or in the field of taqwa. You have now got your certification and you have got your qualification. So now to see that did we really pass, did we succeed or not, that is the important thing. But before we get to that, let us first of all try to understand what is taqwa. This word we have heard probably thousands of times in hundreds of lectures. And we may have read the verses relating to taqwa in the Holy Quran. May Allah accept our tilawat that we made in the month of Ramadan, all the parts of Quran that we read, and as many times as we read, and we have encountered the verses of taqwa when we were reading the Quran in the month of Ramadan. We may have encountered many, many verses of the Holy Quran relating to taqwa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, for example, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. How many verses of the Holy Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of taqwa? So to understand this concept that we've gone through a one month long training program of taqwa. And that was supposed to be the outcome, that we're supposed to have acquired taqwa. Now we've got the certification or the qualification of taqwa. So that is why we're explaining the concept of taqwa, that what is taqwa. Before we explain taqwa, there is a concept of Islam, the meaning of Islam. That is the first phase, the building block, the first phase of a person's life as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. What is Islam? Islam means complete and total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unflinchingly, without questioning, without hesitation and doubt, and without any hesitation to comply fully with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, with Allah's orders, submit oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of Islam. Islam means to surrender. Person surrenders in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a Muslim. And the Muslimin are those people who surrendered themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the concept of surrender in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Falamma aslama watallahu lil jabin wanadaynahu ayya Ibrahim qad saddaqta ar-ru'ya. Allah says, when Ibrahim and Ismail aslama, they adopted Islam. What was the adoption of Islam of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam? Does it mean that they became Muslim there at that point? Because in Arabic, if you say falanun aslama, so and so became Muslim. So you'll say, okay, he accepted Islam, he read kalima shahadat, he read la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. But here the word is used for Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, that falamma aslama, that when the two of them became Muslim. Here it doesn't mean in that technical sense that now they came to read kalima at that point in time, they were out of Islam and they became Muslim now. No, what it means is that they submitted themselves wholly and fully to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they became completely obedient and they were completely submissive to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah uses the word falamma aslama in the ayat of the Holy Quran. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. That was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice his son Ismail by slaughtering him and making zabah of his son Ismail. So this is where the concept of Islam came in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam as Muslim. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. The Jews used to say Ibrahim alayhi salam is from Jewish religion. And the Christians used to say he is from the Christian religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects this in the ayat of the Holy Quran. Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiya. Ibrahim was not a Jew. Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiya wala Nasraniya. He was not a Christian. Walakin kana hanifan muslima. He was a Muslim. In which sense? In the sense of complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the concept of Islam. That a person like Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam submitted themselves completely, obedient completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order, irrespective of whether it made logic or not, whether it appealed to their intellect or not, whether it made sense to them or not. Outwardly, if one has to look at it, it makes no sense for a father to slaughter his own son, for a father to sacrifice his son, but they did not question Allah's order. They submitted themselves fully to Allah's command, and they went against what their own feelings were, their wishes were, their desires were, their aspirations were, their emotions were, their mind, their logic, their rationale. They went against all of these things, and they surrendered themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Islam, that a person surrenders himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we go to the next step above that, and that comes, after that comes the concept of taqwa. After a person has surrendered himself fully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one is supposed to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all his names and qualities and attributes, after that and all the other articles of faith, and after submitting himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now comes a stage above that, which is the stage of taqwa, which is supposed to be the outcome of the month of Ramadan. And this is where a person is completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by abstaining from all the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time. And additionally, he is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, fearing Allah in the sense of fearing the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of taqwa. So this word taqwa encapsulates, encompasses all of these things, that it means imtithalul awamir wa ijtinabun nawahi, to comply with every order of Allah and every law of Allah, and also to abstain from every prohibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in such a way that a person fears Allah. Not like how a person will fear a criminal, not like a person will fear a tyrant, ruler, not like how a person will fear an army, not like how a person will fear some kind of wild beast, not like how a person will fear some kind of danger, like a fire or like a flood, but fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense of fearing the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's fearing the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coupled with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the complete meaning of the word taqwa, and that is what was supposed to be the outcome of Ramadan. This month was to train us. It was a training period of 30 days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained us, that now you train up to build this quality of taqwa to such an extent that now you submit yourself to Allah's order in such a way that even those things that Allah made halal for you, those things will be haram for you for a certain duration of time. And a person willingly submitted and obeyed Allah's order there. When a person had access to all of these things, everyone had access to food, everyone had access to drink. The whole day a person had access to food, he had access to drink. There was plenty of food, there was plenty of drink. In his own house there was food. The drink was available, the food was available. He had money in his wallet, he had his debit and credit cards, and he had access to all kinds of stores and shops and restaurants and takeaways. And he could have gone to any one of those places and he could have eaten and he could have drank and he could have had food and drink. But he chose the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he abstained from eating. And even when he was completely in seclusion and privacy, and there was nobody there, he was all by himself in his own house, there was no one else there, and he could have easily taken food from his fridge and warmed it, or he could have had food that was present there, he could have had something to drink despite hunger and thirst. He did not comply or he did not submit to his whim, he did not submit to his feelings, he did not submit to his cravings, but he abstained from all of those things. Even those people who have other cravings, cravings that are not very healthy, for example, there is the craving of the smokers, that from morning till evening now, they have to give up that smoking, and they crave very much because the body has now developed that habit and that urge is there. But a person fought that urge, he fought his cravings and he stayed away and he showed himself and he proved to himself without doubt that he has willpower and he can exercise that willpower if he wishes to. So, a man was prepared to go through all of that. This was a demonstration of the fact that he is willing to obey Allah and is willing to stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was able to carry that out even in privacy where nobody was watching him. So that means it was with Allah consciousness, that he was conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time. So my dear friends, then we say that yes, this person had acquired the quality of taqwa, because this is exactly what taqwa is, that we carry out Allah's order, we stay away from Allah's prohibition with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that, no matter where we may be, in public or in private, in the total privacy of a place where nobody is around us and we're all on our own, but we're conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Ramadan imparted to us. And all the various acts of ibadah that follow even after Ramadan, for example, immediately after Ramadan now, the beginning of this month of Shawwal, the first day of Shawwal, from the day of Eid al-Fitr, we have now entered another season. And this is known as the season of Hajj, is known as Mawsamul Hajj, the season of Hajj, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. These two and a half months, these are the days of Hajj, the season of Hajj. So even the ibadat of Hajj, again we see that what is the concept, the central theme of Hajj again is taqwa. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding Hajj, that, O people, al-hajju ashhurun ma'lumat, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهِ. Then comes the part, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah speaks about Hajj, and in Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that now you're proceeding for Hajj, and you're on the journey of Hajj, so take your provisions with you on the journey of Hajj. So we will say, what is the provision? Take all your luggage and make sure you've got enough clothing and make sure you've carried enough things that you require there, medication, and you've carried even some kind of, you know, some food stuff that you carried along with you, and you've carried all your toiletries and you've carried your shoes and you've carried your whatever ihram and all the things that you require in the journey of Hajj. So we will say, yes, those are the provisions of Hajj. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the actual and original provisions of Hajj is what? وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. The provisions of the journey of Hajj, the actual provisions of the journey of Hajj is actually taqwa. Allah ta'ala wants us to carry the provision of taqwa with us. So there too we see, here in Ramadan it was لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Whole month of fasting was to put us through a month-long workshop to develop within us the qualification and certification of taqwa. But now we enhance that in the journey of Hajj, carry with you the provision of taqwa, because at every step in the journey of Hajj you're going to require taqwa. Every step of the journey of Hajj, your Hajj will become Hajj Mabroor and an accepted Hajj, and may Allah grant all the Hajjis Hajj Mabroor. All those who are proceeding for Hajj this year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make their Hajj easy for them, take them with great ease and grant them ease and success in their Hajj, and grant them all maqbool and mabroor Hajj and accepted Hajj. Now what is required in the journey of Hajj? Again, what is required in the journey of Hajj is the provisions of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala ends the ayat off with these words, وَاتَّقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So here, the Hajj also. Then we see another great ibadah that follows after Ramadan and connected to Hajj is the ibadah of Qurbani in the days of Dhul Hijjah. And there we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentioning this concept that لَيَنَانَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِ يَنَانُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُ. It is not the blood and the flesh of the animal that will reach Allah, but it is taqwa. Allah wants to see taqwa from you. Allah wants to see your level of taqwa, how much of taqwa you have acquired. So this month of Ramadan, Allah wants to see how much of taqwa we acquired after this month of Ramadan. Qurbani, Allah Ta'ala wants to see how much of taqwa we have acquired. So that taqwa is that ability, that qualification, that certification that we get at the end of this month, that will give us the motivation and the drive to continue in the obedience of Allah and to continue abstaining from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Allah consciousness. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see. And if we are successful in that, it means that the month of Ramadan has had its full impact on us. And if we are deficient in that, it means that there has been some deficiency in the month of Ramadan. But if there was deficiency, all hope is not lost. It doesn't mean that now we give up and we throw our hands up and we say, well, we did not fully succeed. Because if we were deficient, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us other means of supplementing. You know, if you've got a deficiency in your body of a certain mineral or certain vitamins or whatever it may be, there's a certain deficiency in your body. So then you have to supplement. You take supplements. So here, if we are deficient in the vitamin of taqwa, vitamin T, call it vitamin T. We are deficient in vitamin T. Many people are deficient in vitamin D. But here, I think spiritually, we are deficient in vitamin T. So now we need to supplement that vitamin T. How do we supplement that vitamin T? So there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us various supplements that we can take in order to supplement and enhance this vitamin T, this quality of taqwa. And there we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention several things in the Holy Quran, how to supplement this quality of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, mentions that يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله. That if you are deficient in taqwa, then one of the ways of supplementing and acquiring and enhancing the quality of taqwa is وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Reflect and ponder deeply, meditate on what is coming tomorrow and which tomorrow Allah is speaking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the tomorrow of the hereafter. That ponder on the hereafter, meditate on the hereafter, be concerned about life after death and your preparation for that. So if a person adopts this, then through this meditation, then he will enhance the quality of taqwa. Similarly, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O believers, adopt taqwa and join the company of the righteous. So joining the company of the righteous, a person acquires that same quality that they have, it transfers to him, it rubs on to him. Today we have devices. You can connect one device to another and you can download from one device to another. When you are within the range, you have to be in the range, then you can connect two devices. Once they are paired and they connected, you can download from one to another. So like this, when two hearts are in the range, That is, there is close companionship and the hearts are paired and connected. Then there is downloading from one heart to another heart. And when downloading takes place, you don't even notice. You might not even see. When your phone is downloading from somebody else's phone, you're not seeing the download happening. But you believe that it is happening. Because when you finally open that file, you see the whole file is there. But someone says to you, but brother, you never saw anything happening. You never saw anything coming. He says, it doesn't matter. You don't have to see this thing. As long as what is supposed to be there is there, it means that the download has taken place. So like that, the download takes place from heart to heart. Whether we see it or feel it, doesn't matter. But once the outcome is there and that file has been downloaded from one heart to another heart and the effect is felt in the heart of that, that means that this download has been successful. So like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us another method. These are various techniques and methodology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prescribing to us in the Holy Quran. How to enhance this quality of taqwa. After this month of Ramadan, we have come out of this month, and if we are still finding that there is a degree of deficiency, and there will be, who can say that I have perfect taqwa, and I have perfected taqwa in this month of Ramadan? There is virtually no one that can say that. So there will be the deficiency. And we supplement and we top up this deficiency by way of these techniques and methods that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this method and technique of وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, which I explained to you. And this other method also which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, that كُنُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, be in the company of the صَادِقِينَ. And who are the صَادِقِينَ? The Quran explains the meaning of صَادِقِينَ. القرآن يفسر بعضها بعضا. Quran gives commentary of itself. Quran explains itself. One verse of Quran explains another verse of Quran. If you want a commentary of Quran, first place to look for is within the Quran itself. So, O Allah, who are the Sadiqeen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to know the definition of the Sadiqeen, then go to the very Quran itself, and the Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. The Sadiqeen are the Muttaqeen. Quran says the Sadiqeen are the Muttaqeen. So the Sadiqeen means those who are absolutely truthful and who are, every part of their heart is compliant with the quality, and it's brimming with the quality of piety and righteousness. Those are the Sadiqeen. And that those are the Muttaqeen. They are the people of Taqwa. So by joining the company of the Sadiqeen, meaning the Muttaqeen, that quality gets transferred. And additionally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned other things also, other methods. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ. O believers, fear Allah, adopt taqwa, and وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Seek means of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek ways of drawing the approval and the love and the pleasure and happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means adopt those actions that will endear you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah will start loving you and liking you. And there again we go to Quran, and Quran explains to us that which is that action that if you do, Allah will start loving you and liking you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And that is ittiba as-sunnah, following the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meticulously. This is that action that Allah says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you say you love Allah, then follow my way, follow my sunnah. Yuhbibkumullah, Allah will start loving you. So if we want that quality of taqwa to come, then and to enhance that quality, these are the methodologies and the techniques that have been mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enhance our taqwa and increase our taqwa. And whatever we've acquired in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to preserve that taqwa. That it should not be lost, and it should not disappear. a person made the sacrifice, he made the effort in the month of Ramadan, and there must be an outcome of that effort, and it must not be just lost. It's like a person who conducted a very good business season, and next thing he loses all the profits that he made. You'll say, what a sad and unfortunate situation. Somebody worked on their health and they developed themselves and they became very healthy and well, and suddenly that person does something and loses all his health and becomes so sick that he goes into organ failure. We will say, such an unfortunate thing, such a healthy and hale and hearty person, now suddenly became so ill. So like that, it shouldn't be that Ramadan goes past. We made the effort and sacrifice in this month, and that we lose the benefit of this month. So we should preserve this taqwa, we should enhance it, we should try to develop it. This is what is required of us after the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Remember, my dear friends, these messages that are given, these messages we are going to be accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. These words don't go empty. When we speak and when we listen, then we have to follow through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question every person on the day of Qiyamah, that these were these messages from the Quran that were conveyed to you. Did you comply or did you just let it go past with no attention? Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَمْ يَخِرُوا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانًا. Those people that when our verses are presented to them, it doesn't go past them سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانًا as if they were blind and deaf. May Allah not make us from that group of people that Quran is explained, Quranic verses are mentioned, and it is in front of them like summa wa umyana, as if they were blind and deaf, they heard nothing, they saw nothing. May Allah not make us from that group of people, but make us of those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that when they hear, then they say, sami'na wa ata'na, we heard and we obey. We heard and we will practice. We heard and we will follow. Then inshallah ta'ala, when a person says, sami'na wa ata'na, غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. The maghfirat and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَنَا